So I was wondering what to share on the 25th birthday of the USA. And I go into a local emporium on Friday, and on the shelf is the very verse I'm going to finish up with. So I figured I can splurge $6 on getting it. I'll actually give it to anyone who can figure it out what it is before I show you. Home ownership is wonderful. It's the end of all your troubles. The problem is it's the front end. A house divided by itself cannot stand. Lincoln said one of those two quotations. But of course, Lincoln was quoting. And so I pondered for a while, token Brit talking to citizens on such an exciting weekend. I stayed up to see the long-delayed president's address last night, and true to form, he had wheeled out World War II vets, one of them 107 years old, with good hair. He stood by his wheelchair and saluted one of multiple historically significant flags in, I assume, bulletproof cases. So, no matter what your ailments this weekend, if a 107-year-old vet can survive such an experience in front of thousands last night on the Mall in Washington, your and my aches and pains sometimes need to be set aside. I will quote my granddaughter. She will cringe when I tell her, but that's part of the fun. Thanks, Papa. I would say happy fourth back, but this was like the biggest defeat in your country's history. So, thank you, Izzy. Let's put things in perspective. The other day I found in a box in my garage a book I'd totally forgotten I had, like many books. The British Museum, 250 years on. Lynn and I purchased it in 2003 when we visited. The country, in a sense, is 250 years old, but in other senses, it's hardly an infant. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the dimension that history gives to our lives. We can't always be sure of the facts, and we know that very often they're given a cast which may not be the whole truth. We pray this morning you will take us back to valuable, if puzzling, sections of your word that still challenge us, even as we celebrate a milestone in the providential development of this country that we love. We ask this in Jesus' name. The Smithsonian was modeled on the British Museum, let's just say a few decades later. I was going to become a citizen, but then when Medicare killed me 4 years ago, it got put on hold. But if I'm around to celebrate the 255th anniversary, I plan to be a citizen by then. I have no grudges at all against this country. They gave me a very warm welcome 54 years ago. Within 3 weeks, I had a Social Security card. I don't think that happens these days. It was a wonderful vacation from dreary, rain-sodden England. And yes, I'd love to be able to shuttle back and forth, but no regrets at all about settling here. Today, Ruth, is over 20% the age of this country. I'm not going to fix on the number. The country is not even five times older than Ruth Reed. Think about that. If you happen to be 65, one or two of you are in that vicinity, you're 25% the age of the country. You've lived through the last quarter of the country's history to date. Yesterday, Lynn's cousin in Virginia turned 85. He is now over a third the age of the country. I went to high school in a building constructed in the 1820s, and we thought that was old. So in a sense, age is a relative thing. The choir did a wonderful job playing with a very old, wonderful tune. The first song we sang in Breaking of Bread this morning was written by a one-time music professor called Lowell Mason. In 1831, he instructed one of his grad students, a guy called Sam Smith. There's a name to play with. He was 24. He wanted him to translate some old European melodies, but Mr. Smith went further. He wrote entirely new words to a tune which Haydn and Beethoven had already mucked about with decades before. That's the melody to which the choir put Psalm 23 a few minutes ago. If you read the notes on the side, faith, hope, love, embedded in the structure of the psalm, doubled in this particular version. Almost every version of Psalm 23 is declarative. The Lord is my shepherd. I thought for this weekend, changing it to the interrogative kind of fits the national anthem. I've heard a few of the national anthems of different countries recently watching World Cup matches. It's surprising how many countries have anthems based on European music structures. Ghana sounds like a German tune. It's strange. But as far as I know, I should maybe check AI, but for reasons I'll go into on another occasion, I don't want to. I think this country's national anthem is the only one that begins with a question, which catches the American spirit as usually conceived. Lord, are you still my shepherd? Say, do you see me and what I'm going through? So to a limited extent, the Psalm 23 take, sung very, very nicely a few minutes ago, is the voice of the USA at the quarter millennium, which history puts this weekend. Does this country still appreciate God's love? Does the USA still trust God rather than its own efforts? Does the USA have any hope of success or prosperity continuing outside of God's blessing and guidance? Many people would answer in the affirmative. Let's put a few things in perspective. And here I'm first going to check out what Logan assures me. I can move around the room as if I was a college teacher still, and the mic won't give out. The figure I'm using is that one row represents a week. And the question I'm not going to ask is, how good is your memory? On May the 3rd, the three youngs made their debut, and we had a great high five, unseen by most of you, when they got back to their seats. Lord willing, we'll hear from them again in the not-too-distant future. May the 10th, I was homesick. It was Mother's Day, so I assume the message was about moms to some extent. May the 17th, Jason took us into Ecclesiastes chapter 1, that Old Testament poetic book with the depressing sentences and the unpronounceable title. It just means the person who speaks to a group of people. May the 24th, which is row 4, Cameron. Oh, I'm so tempted to ask Cameron what he spoke about, but I will not. I'm not going to try to make anyone uncomfortable. Cameron spoke on aspects of Gideon's time as a judge. Do you remember? Just answer to yourself. May the 31st, Chuck had forgotten how dangerous a bandsaw can be, so Jordan filled in and spoke about the importance of memory. June the 7th, you might well say, how come I can't do this from memory? Well, I used to be able to meet a class of 30 students and have all their names down by the end of the first meeting, but my memory can't do that, so I need notes. June the 7th, Clayton spoke about various aspects of measurement in Scripture. We had more tools on display that day than ever before, except when he brought in a bow, as I vaguely remember. June the 14th, Sean spoke on discerning God's plan for your life. June the 21st, only 2 weeks ago, Joe Smith spoke on Jesus' words to Peter in Matthew 16. I hope these are all ringing bells. June the 28th, last week, William spoke on Jonah chapter 1. And in a very rare confluence of topics, we had Jonah having a terrible time on a boat on Sunday, and this past Wednesday, Cameron took us through Acts 27, Paul having a very tough time on a boat, from which Jordan drew the unwarranted conclusions that believers should not take boat trips. It doesn't happen very often that those two come together. So you got the picture, right? If it's a week at a time, and if we had labels or people, you could see at a glance, okay, so-and-so was before so-and-so, and so-and-so was after so-and-so. Let's apply it in a different way. We're going to go through American history to date, 25 years at a time. Of course, we're going to merely bounce on the surface like a skipping stone. We really need Clyde to do justice to this. 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed and later became a musical. In England, school kids were not taught American history. So in London, when there were marquees saying 1776, everyone said, why would you make a musical out of 1776? Few Brits knew the significance of that year. Not very good. 1787, the draft constitution was submitted to the states for ratification. And when it was ratified, in a sense, that's when the country began. 1801, Thomas Jefferson was ratified as the third president of the US. He defeated John Adams after 36 ballots. And we thought the mess up in 2000 was catastrophic. 1826, on July the 4th, Thomas Jefferson died. On the same day, John Adams died. Adams told a friend, Jefferson has outlived me, because, of course, in those days, there were no texts, no telephones, no TV, no radio. They did not know. They departed this life on the exact same day. And a month later, the first commercial railroad in this country was approved of in Massachusetts. Railway service began in New England. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Very ambiguous. We always want to see more, hear more, do more. And it's frustrating as you get older. The thing which has been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Although Ben Franklin said the US Constitution was. Is there anything whereof it may be said, look, this is new? It's already been of old time before us. My country, 'tis of thee, has other words in Europe. As the US reaches 250 years, there is still the old trade-off. Innovation brings fatigue. Real success always comes at a significant cost, militarily, technically, or just in terms of energy. 25-year period, number 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1851. July the 4th, President Millard Fillmore, and you know where he's from, dedicated the cornerstone to expand the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., particularly the steps. Same year, Herman Melville published Moby Dick, the great American novel with more interpretations possible than he can shake a harpoon at. And then 10 years later, the 49-month civil war began, 2 weeks before the end of which President Lincoln was assassinated. It's almost halfway to the present. 1876, 10 million visited the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Great celebration, 100 years of the U.S. Same year, two very important patents were awarded. Alexander Graham Bell got one for the telephone. Thomas Edison got one for the mimeograph machine, which ultimately led to those purple ink handouts, which some of us are old enough to remember sniffing because the ink just seems so good. You, of course, may remember Xerox. Same year, Mark Twain published The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, the book I read when I was 10 and made me think I would like to go to the States someday. The National League played its first baseball season, and on June the 25th, Sitting Bull defeated George Custer at the Battle of Little Bighorn. The country was about half as old as it is now. Period 6, 1901, J.P. Morgan incorporated U.S. Steel, without which there wouldn't have been industry in Buffalo. There was also the first panic and crash on Wall Street, and you can see my local bias. President McKinley was assassinated at the Pan American Exposition held in Buffalo. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I gathered me silver and gold. It's not J.P. Morgan speaking, but this was the period of millionaires, the Gilded Age in this country. Here it's Solomon. I got me men singers, women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, musical instruments and all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, but my wisdom stayed with me. This is verse 9. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. This is 19th century robber barons in the U.S. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. I knew success. As the U.S. celebrates 250 years, there is still the old drive to succeed. People are still like Solomon. Much has been accomplished, and we should thank the Lord for our success. Though I gently point out that 6 weeks paid vacation is pretty normal in Europe, hasn't had a ghost of a chance in our culture yet. Period 7, we're up to 1926. Math is easy, it's 100 years ago. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're beginning to reach the memory of our grandparents or great-grandparents. 1915, 51, President Harry Truman relieved General Douglas MacArthur of commanding Korea. Some of you have the name Douglas because of that general. CBS made its first color TV broadcast. Many of you have never known anything but. 1951, Dennis the Menace and I Love Lucy made their first appearance. The United Nations headquarters opened in New York City. I visited it 20 years later. It's a very impressive building. Next period takes us to 1976. The bicentennial celebrations, Lynn and I were in them. Some of you, of course, were not yet on the planet. The National Air and Space Museum opened in Washington, D.C., still the most popular for high schoolers on senior trips. 1976, Apple and Microsoft were incorporated. Many people cannot imagine life without an Apple or a Microsoft project. They began in 1976. The Muppets made their debut. The hit movie of the year was Rocky. I understand people visit Philadelphia just to run up those steps. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Through the perspective of the country speaking. Verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? The flip side of success. What's the ultimate point? I have seen the work which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. I watched the 800,000 firework items display last night on TV. And my first thought, regrettably, was if it gets the Guinness World Record, which Mr. Trump hopes, somebody's going to shoot for 900,000 fireworks next year in another country. It's not going to stop. Verse 10, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart. Ambition, perspective, and limitations. So no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. As the USA reflects upon 250 years, there is still one right perspective. Paid work is just one part of the life God has given us. It may seem an outrageously disproportionate part. The believer sharing God's work, should he be privileged to have it, is what really counts. And here we've got to the back row. 9/11, followed sensibly by the Patriot Act. War in Afghanistan begins where the Soviets left off. The iPod appeared. Harry Potter hit the bookstores. And if we were to extend, we used to have more rows of chairs here, but they were less comfortable. And people need more leg room, I guess, as they get older. So once there was a 12th row, which would be 2026, where we are now. Too soon, to tell. Not even going to try. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 11. If two lie together, then they have heat. We forget that the days of the patriots, the colonial days, the struggle against England, it was bitterly cold, exceptionally cold for those winters. There was a wonderful series by Ken Burns a few months ago, The American Revolution. All sorts of interesting perspectives. It did not, however, record the well-documented fact that the powers that were in London consistently voted against King George and refused to send any soldiers over here. England was far from unanimous in wanting to punish the patriots. How can one be warm alone? And this argument was used in colonial days. You emigrants, you can't survive without trade from the home country. Verse 12, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. In colonial days, preachers took this to refer to faith, hope, and love, as at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, as undergirding Psalm 23, as, Lord willing, we'll see next year, undergirding the Lord's Prayer, undergirding John chapter 3, one of the dominant themes in Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul links this threefold cord together. You can't go it alone. This is hilarious. Hobby Lobby was selling this for $22. I got it for $7 at a rival store. Verse 13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Of course, preachers over here loved to hammer on this verse. George was the old and foolish king, but he was only a third of the way through his life at the time. As the USA commits to the next 25 years, when apparently Social Security collapses, the banks will be bad behaved again at least once. Can't look even beyond 2 months. Can you believe we're in the second half of 2026 already? Can you believe Nicholas is graduating already? I still find it hard to believe that Lynn and I knew three of the soldiers currently serving in the out points east, Gregory, Dale, Adam. We knew them when they were 9 years old, and now they're doing things for the country as full-grown trained adults. As the USA and each of us with a tiny contribution to make looks to the next 25 years, perhaps, oh, I'll be retired by then. I've not got another 25 years. Well, that's what the 107-year-old vet probably thought 25 years ago. There is still the personal challenge, fellowship versus individualism. It runs. runs through the U.S. history. We all stand together, or we hang separately, or something like that. Working together with others and trusting the Lord that personal success is not necessarily totally hostile to working together. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering, says Paul, without ceasing, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, the threefold cord that drives a fellowship that's in touch with what the Lord wants to do. On Thursday evening, our solid oak dining room table broke, collapsed, and Lynn and I were highly entertained by the fact that four grandchildren, including the oldest and the youngest, who were there at the table. Three others were working down at camp at the time, so we can't blame them for the breakage. They had their phones out, hunting for table purchases online. That's not the world many of us grew up in. So I asked the kids, can you name a thing that was not in existence until after you were born? They came up with 20 things very quickly. I can't define all of them for you, and it's obviously a random sample. Until after they were born, the last 25 years, no iPhones, no AI, no Bluetooth, no Netflix, no streaming services, no Meta glasses, no social media. The useless box, electric lighters, the Wii, DVDs, Blu-rays, micro SDs, eSIMs, wireless earbuds, Siri, YouTube, audiobooks, Chick-fil-A sauce. Nay, Chick-fil-A itself is a widespread brand. Wireless chargers and all Tesla products. Only in the last 25 years, only, so to speak, in the lobby, if we structure the history of the country in 25-year increments. A lot can happen, obviously, in 25 years, and few can predict it. We know from Scripture the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. The truth of his word, including the insight we get from older, depressed kings like Solomon, is still true. Nothing new under the sun. It's still a challenge because each generation needs, in a sense, to make something new for itself. So far, every generation has. But reliance on the Lord being given a share in his work still remains the most important thing. I just remind anyone who wants that we're going to practice one of our choir's favorite songs in a few moments. Lord willing, over the next year or two, each of them will get a chance to have a group working as a threefold chord, singing songs that we often ignore the words of because we've sung them so often. We got the privilege of doing that in a fellowship like this. We do things here that don't get done in other fellowships. In many ways, we do meet Solomon's challenge. Lord, thank you for our time. Thank you for what this country means to us. thank you for the role you have granted us, tiny though it is, in the development of our culture, in friendships, in neighborhoods, in our spiritual life together as a fellowship, even in the arrangement of furniture. We can sometimes get too comfortable and think, this is my row, this is my seat, this is my time. But Lord, we know your plan is supreme, and we ask you to use us in your way to carry it out, maybe in ways we can't possibly anticipate as we enter another 25 years, perhaps, of this country's history. We thank you for our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.